Welcome back to Watch Talk Across the Pond. I am your host, Snob. What's my thing again? Not a watch snob. I'm here with Abdul R. Watches and hey, One to Watch. And today we're talking about... What are we talking about, Dean?
Well, we're going to look at things like flipping watches, the state of the market, and really just what comes up, I think, today. A little bit of a laid-back Sunday session.
I like that.
Perfect.
So Dean has a little bit of a story, or should I go first just so you feel less bad about...
guys have on your wrist first?
Oh, you're right.
That's a good idea. Yeah.
My Bulova Computron.
Oh, I like that.
Nice. I love this watch.
Side view, yeah.
This watch is awesome.
Really
cool. So many
cool
compliments.
Really,
it
really
actually
cool.
Sold me a car the other day. Some guy was talking about watches, and he was trying it on, and he was like, you know what? I'll buy it. I'm like, the watch? Another car.
Wow. You should have made money. Just double the price. That's what we're talking about today. You say, you can have it for 500.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's it. Just tell him it's a moon watch. Tell him it's a moon watch.
Yeah.
He won't know.
Ooh. Real gold. You have the Seiko on?
Cool. I was going to change it, but I've just been making video clips and things for a video on it. So, I've got the Seiko Alpinist Ginza on again today, which I've been pretty much wearing nonstop. I did wear one of my boulders a couple of days ago, but pretty much nonstop, and just about to make a video of it in the next few days. Yeah.
Wow.
Nice. I'm actually wearing my newest acquisition, Citizen Flieger. It's a Flieger chronograph with an Eco Drive movement, movement. I actually bought it from this Amazon program, Try Before You Buy, and I liked it so much. But I thought, I'd find a better deal on eBay, and I've been scouring eBay since 3 months until I found one. So I just I'll get it.
that's a really good idea. It's a bit like me with climbing shoes. I actually go into all the shops and try the climbing shoes on, and then I go online to buy them for about £30-40 cheaper.
Yeah.
You guys are just ruining small businesses. Thanks a lot.
I occasionally buy, occasionally sort of support local businesses, occasionally, but not all the time. Because they are literally £30-40 more expensive in the shops.
I used to wear a shirt. You know how they always have the support local businesses? Like you guys have the signs. Everyone's always about. I used to have support local billionaires, and it'd say buy Amazon.
Yeah, that's what I do. I try from Amazon, and then I buy off some private seller of eBay. So I'm trying to.
Well, you don't mind. Mind Amazon, really, do you? It's not like they're not making billions a week or whatever. Anyway, is it really? And using loads of extra cardboard and things.
Exactly. So. Exactly.
Mm. Yeah. So we're on the topic of flipping watches, right? And I was thinking about this one time where I had one of the best flips I've ever done. And I'm not really one to flip watches, to be honest with you. It's not really the thing I go for. I usually just buy a watch because I like a watch. But I had actually traded a Hamilton khaki, how you say it? I traded a Hamilton khaki for a Bell & Ross automatic, the vintage it's called, where it has the chronograph. I traded it for this watch, just a one-on-one trade, and I was like, this is a friggin' amazing trade. Wow. But I really wanted the Bell & Ross squares, they have the square dial ones. This one was a round dial. So I then took that automatic, and I traded it up for a square one, and then I just sold the square one after a few months. And I went from a $500 purchase of a Hamilton to a $1,600 sell of a Bell & Ross. And I was like, you know what? That's probably the best flip or trade that I've ever done.
Nice.
So,
Was you kind of worried after you'd done that, thinking this watch might be defective? There might be a reason why this person's wanted to do the trade.
I had it checked out when I got it. I went to my jeweler, had him take off the case and look at the movement itself and whatnot. So I went and did my due diligence on these watches before the guy who I was trading with was more nervous than me when I was trading the automatic one for the square one. He was like, I don't know if I was like, come on, just do it.
Just do it. Exactly. Take it.
I'll send you everything.
Very persuasive, yeah.
Cool. Yeah, I think that the main I think that watch lovers like us do this normally. You know what I mean? Like, I don't go to Rolex and I buy 5-6 watches just for the purpose of flipping them. I have a connection with someone who gives me watches, and then I add a couple of thousands to them and then sell them. For me, then it's, I'm not doing it as a hobby. I'm just like starting a business. I'm like, I'm a watch flipper. But like I'll always buy the watches with the intention of keeping the watch forever. Like I buy the watch and I'm like, I'm not selling this watch. But the thing is, happens like I buy a watch like the Seiko Alpinist, for instance. I thought I would never sell it, but now I need some money.
I thought you'd never sell it.
Yeah, me too. I love the watch. Until now, I love the watch so much.
I know you do. Yeah.
But I bought it for like 300 euros, 2017. Now it's like around 1,000. I sold it for a friend of mine for 800. He's happy. I'm happy. So you know what I mean? And I could take this money and put it into the next watch purchase, which would be much bigger. And that's why I sold even the Smiths. I sold the Seiko. Yeah. I sold the Tudor. I sold like 5 or 6 vintage watches of mine.
Oh, you're doing well. Yeah.
And for me, I got profit on most of the watches because I tried always to get the watch cheaply. And I have good connections to watchmakers here in the region. I can send it to them, get it serviced. I have like 200 straps, so I can put a new strap on it and take nice photos. And that's the whole idea. If you do all these steps right, you would get a fair market price at this market value, you know, because the market now is red hot. And if you're doing this, I don't think it's wrong. You know what I mean? It's like you're just using the tools that you have. But if you go out and like, I know that Dean wants to buy this Rolex, for instance, and I go get it for the MSRP, and then I sell him for double the price. I feel like that's gouging a little bit. That's okay.
That's different, isn't it? That's different.
I agree.
Yeah. I don't think what you've done is really flipping. I think flipping is what you say, buying a new Rolex and selling it and double your money on it and buying it with the purpose of doing that. I think that's flipping. I think what you're talking about is selling lots of watches of low, you know, lower value, and because you want to purchase a more expensive watch, so sort of, you know, you've got a pot of money into your watch collection, and they are assets or whatever, and when you want to buy a new watch, so I mean, I've just sold a couple of watches, and then I bought the Ginza, but interestingly, when the Ginza came, I didn't take it out of the box for a couple of days, because I wasn't, you know, it takes a bit of time to decide if you definitely want it. And then I had the option of eBay. So I bought it for £670, and I could have then sold that as new on eBay for pretty much double that. So, you know, there was that sort of, so if I'd been a flipper, I probably would have done that. But I bought it because I really, you know, I like the look of it. I wasn't 100% convinced because I wasn't sure the pattern on the dial was how pronounced it was. I thought it might be too much, you know, etc. But it isn't. It just, you know, when you so that's not a flipper, because I didn't buy it to make money, but it was always the case, if I decided not to keep it, it would have been really stupid sending it back to the to the AD, the retail where I bought it from, rather than eBay. It wouldn't, you know, if I sent it back, I would have made zero money. But if I sold it on eBay, I would have made, you know, £400-£500 on it. So it would have been ridiculous sending it back to, you know, I did not, but I can't be a flipper, because I kept it, and, you know, and then I might sell it in the future, and that's fine. And I might make money of it in the future, you know, and I've done that. I know sometimes, like Christopher Ward, they have a sale twice a year where they sell a lot. They used to sell watches off price. Recently, they've been like 30-40% off. But when I started collecting, maybe about 6-7 years ago, you know, my first watch was pretty much Chris Ward. I bought that watch off price, and then I thought, well, why don't I buy a few more watches from them? You know, because I realized that, you know, people were selling more on eBay. So I bought one, then I bought another 4 or 5 watches, and then I sold them, and I repeated that pattern a couple of times, and I've just done it the odd time since, but in a really sensible way, in the sense that somebody might have bought one of their watches and made £300 or £400. If I've decided not to keep it, then I might have made £50-£100 on it. So I've not tried to go for the big amount. I've just kind of, it's almost been like a little amount for my, I wouldn't say my efforts, but you know, just you know, to make it worthwhile doing that rather than sending it back to Christopher Ward. So I've not done it in a greedy way, and I've pretty much undercut everyone else, and that's why I've sold it pretty quickly. So it was all about not holding out for big money, just sort of if I decide not to keep it, then and a lot of the time I've just sent it back. But occasionally I think, well, you know, I think this watch will sell on eBay and I can make £50-100 on it, and and I can put that back into my watch funds. You know,
well, it gets to a point when you have just watches sitting around, and then it's time to time to sell them. It's time to let go of them because you don't wear them. And I think it'd be better to give it to someone else or sell it to someone else. Whether you're making money or not is irrelevant, because the joy that person's getting and the joy you're getting is, you know, equal. You know, because like
well,
you say,
it's money
right
to buy new watches. It's also money for you to buy new watches.
Exactly.
That's what I see. I keep, you know, I'll wear. I tend to have mine for a few years, and then I'll sell one or two and then buy another one. And that's what I've done. I've sold two old watches that I've had for 2 years. I sold two divers of 2 years, and then I bought the Ginza. That's my latest thing. And Abdul's doing similar, aren't you? You've sold several watches.
Yeah.
And you're and I don't know what it is yet or anything, but you're going for something really big and expensive.
Yes.
And I'm really looking forward to this. So don't tell us now. You're going to do a big reveal.
Yes.
I think we should do a
free guest.
Do a chat,
nice, but it's out of my budget. Like I'm going for another Swiss made watch, like a dress watch.
Ooh,
really nice. Really nice one. Not open work, but totally different than everything I have in my collection. Yeah,
well,
you'll
that's,
be really...
that's good though. That's what keeps it interesting. I think we you'll have to reveal it on one of these sessions to us, Abdul.
Yes,
to
yes,
the world.
Definitely.
You know, we'll have to put it out on one of these sessions.
We can make like a session maybe next week or something. Maybe dream watches. We can show each of us their dream
idea.
Watch, right?
Yes, I love that idea, because you know, those are fun to think about. You know, what would make it? Why dream watch and why? You know,
exactly, exactly.
There's always a story as to why you wanted that watch. You know,
definitely. Yeah,
and I think also, it sounds great. The market now is just screaming. People are screaming FOMO, like fear of missing out, and they're like they see the watch, oh, it's sold out. I really need the watch now, and they pay exuberant amount for the watches, like for
Moonswatch.
Moonswatch.
Like the Moonswatch is FOMO, exactly. Yeah.
Are you crazy, guys? It's €250 watch, and you're paying thousands of euros on eBay for it. It's a quartz swatch at the end of the day.
Abdul, are you going to buy one for 200 your equivalent, you know, 207, whatever that is in euros? Are you going to buy one?
For €250, I would buy one. Maybe
I actually still don't think I'm going to buy one. I personally still don't think it's worth £207. So these people have spent more, absolute morons.
It's crazy. I'm just going to buy it because I will never buy a Moonwatch. Like, I tried the Moonwatch several times. I liked it, but I'm like, it's not my thing. So for me to have this experience of having a Moonwatch, like, I want to buy the white one with the red arrows. The Alaska expedition, or what it's called, and for me it's like €250. If I get bored with it, I'll give it to my cousin or something, and he would be happy with it. Yeah. You know, so I'm always thinking about like, okay, which watches could I give to my cousin, my younger cousins, and stuff like that. And at the same time, I have a little bit fun with it.
Yeah, I must admit though, a lot, you know, everyone says, "Oh, it's only £207." And I must be really tight with money. That just sounds a lot to me. I just don't, you know what I mean? I've got this no, I don't let a penny go. You know what I mean? £207 sounds a lot to me.
75% of my paycheck right there.
it's like I say to my students, you know, going, because I teach A-levels, going to the exam, I say, don't give it one mark, you know, stay there till the end. Don't give it one mark. Even if there's a question you don't know, stay there as long as it takes. Just put something down. Just try and answer it. Don't you know? And I'm a bit like that. I've got no tolerance. You know, £207 to me is it's not just something on a whim that I might like and I might just give it away.
For me, I always think about it like, okay, I'll buy it, and if I want to sell it, I'll be able to sell it, and I can even sell it for
you,
more.
You could sell it. You could sell it. So you could pay £207. You can try it. You can wait a few weeks, and you'll be able to sell it. Having said that, they're going to become readily available soon. So I suppose first wave, the FOMO, the first wave. But I think as soon as they come very available, but I don't know, it's a quartz movement worth a couple of pound and a bit of plastic. I think it was 50 quid. I'd probably get one, but I still
the
think
the die comes
I'm
off
not.
Too.
I'm not even sure.
Yeah,
I could,
yeah,
you know.
Exactly. The people had like blue and red on their arm.
I know.
And,
oh
I
yeah. Well, that's just, that was the final straw for me. The blue
eco
on the
ceramic,
arm.
Right? Eco ceramic.
I was actually thinking of getting a blue felt tape, putting a circle on my hand, doing a wrist roll, and putting it on Instagram, and saying, "Oh, about to send me watch back," and making like a spoof, jokey thing.
Yeah.
And I thought I can't be bothered to just like, you know, wash the ink and all off. Just can't be bothered. With
yeah, they will be staying the whole weekend with the ink on.
It's like the blue circle of shame, isn't it? Like, ooh,
yeah,
you know, trying to hide
you got
it,
the
you
swatch, right?
You got the blue one. You got the blue one.
I like that.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. I was at a bar the other day and I saw someone's Rolex. I was like, "Oh, nice Rolex." I was like, "I happen to be a watch guy." He goes, "If you're a watch guy, what watch just came out and is staining wrists everywhere?" That's what he said. And I'm like, oh, the Omega, wow. I mean the Moonswatch.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah,
Moonswatch,
yeah. Yeah, yeah, it was just like crazy, you know.
Yeah, the videos of people standing in line, like okay, I don't mind paying 250 euros for it, but I'm not going to waste 4 hours of my day to stand in line for this shit. You know what I mean? I like really, I have zero tolerance for staying in lines for stuff that's not worth it. Like, I would pay the money, no problem, but I would be at home, click on the button. 2 days later, it comes to my door. The guy knocks, gives me the package. Okay, I'm not going to even take the hassle to go anywhere in the state, in the city to buy them. You know what I mean? So for me, I understand people like buy two of them and then put them online, make a couple of thousands, get the next day. But it's becoming now like a culture. I hear in shoes, it's the same thing, like limited edition clothes. And it's like, okay, do I want to be engaging in, or exuberating this culture, or do I want to be like,
that's
okay,
what I think,
I'm out, like I'm out.
I'm out of that culture. I go to Savers to buy my clothes. I get like secondhand, third hand, fourth hand, friggin' hand-me-downs for like $6 at a store, and it's like, and it's good stuff. It's like Columbia and all those like brand stuff, but like, the hell am I going to pay $150 for something I can pay $6 for?
Yeah.
Like, what? Not worth it.
Yeah, I think people are just getting a little bit insane with these stuff, to be honest. Like, I've talked to so many people now that, like, about investing and, like, why not get, like, instead of buying these shoes, t-shirts, like, yeah, get a Rolex watch. It's an investment. It will get up in price. Oh, but I would pay 5,000 euro. Yeah, but you paid 1,000 euro for a pants or 500 euros for a sweatshirt. Mm-hmm. Like, this is just a piece of clothes, cotton. It's
all
cotton.
Made in the same place, too. It's it's all made by the same companies, too. And you know what's even funny about that? You know who Mr. Wonderful is from Shark Tank, the guy, the billionaire?
Yeah.
He had a great talk on this. He said his mom didn't have much money when he was growing up, but every year she'd buy a nice fur mink coat. So every year she'd save up the money and buy something really nice. And he'd say, "Mom, why don't you buy, you know, you don't buy anything throughout the year. You always buy this mink coat." She goes, "Because I'm not going to spend $10 every day on a stupid shirt that's going to devalue when I can buy a mink coat for $1,000 that's going to keep its value over time." So that's his thought of the same thing, you know, why spend all this money on stupid pointless stuff when you can buy one nice thing that's going to keep its value, or if not increase.
I tell you what though, it would be just my luck. If I bought a Rolex, you know, £5,000 or £6,000, it would crash, you know, like the bubble would burst. And it'd be worth like, you know, 3,000. It would only happen when I actually bought one. So I won't buy one. Yeah, I won't buy one. If you two are in that market, I won't buy one because
we'll see the line and just boop, Dean.
Yeah, that would be the point.
Dean
the bubble burst. Yeah,
the
soon as I buy one, I walk out the dealer, and then the next day on the news it'll be, oh, you know, Rolex has crashed. All
it's crashing.
Rolex lost money. Lost value. First time ever.
Yeah.
Is it true that the Datejust has the most gains the most amount of value each year? Is that true? The Datejust?
No. The Datejust gained in the past 5 years a lot of value. But
was it Daytona?
Daytona.
Daytona.
Daytona and the precious metal stuff like platinum. Platinum is crazy. Crazy,
Oh,
crazy
that
money.
they've got a new one, haven't they, with platinum?
Yeah.
And then they've managed to do the fluted bezel, which is really, really
Exactly.
difficult
Really hard with the platinum. Yeah.
to do that. And it you know, you can only do a few, and the tools get all clogged up and everything,
Really?
apparently.
Platinum's that
I
crazy?
find that side I find interesting. The manufacturer of watches, I think that would make a really good episode. I find that really, really
And I think
interesting.
also we have like less than 1 minute in this recording, so we
I
should think
think I think
about
it started timing us when we started
yes
eating, not
it does exactly it's like hey you
it
have this you're talking about flipping you only have this amount of time.
All right, that concludes Watch Talk Across the Pond. Thank you guys for joining us, and we will be
Thank
back
you.
next week.
Yes. Thank you very much,
See you,
guys.
everybody. Bye bye.
No problem. That was
Cheers.
good.
Good.
That was